Hello, and welcome to the Liquored Up Lowdown.
I don't know why. I'm sorry. I fucked up your intro.
No, it's fine. You're drinking.
That's true, I am.
So we're drinking margaritas. We're about to give you a bunch of crazy news stories.
But we are always a week late when it comes to goddamn holidays. Like, we're a week late for Cinco de Mayo, man.
Well, that's true.
Every fucking time.
Must be the drinking. Our top story tonight, brought to you by Brian.
Actually, I'm going to throw you a curve. I did not tell you I was going to talk about this, but I think you're going to, like this topic. We don't have to be too long about it, but what do you, Tom?
Yes,
Brian. You and I, over these 20 or so episodes, I think we just passed 20 episodes. We have occasionally talked about cryptocurrency. It's one of our favorite topics here. And speaking of the news, I'm not sure you're aware, but we didn't even see this coming because you know how big of an advocate we are for the cryptocurrency. It's crashing right now.
No.
And I didn't see that coming all or anything. No. So I just wanted to hear your thoughts about that because it is in the news right now.
It crashes, it goes back up again, it crashes again. I'm completely nonplussed by the whole thing.
Yeah.
Which is ironic because I do, in fact, have a small mining operation here. No, I'm not kidding. I actually, we do mine a little bit of cryptocurrency.
Oh, okay. I did not know this.
Yeah. At night, after the gaming is finished, the cryptocurrency mine begins.
Yeah.
And I think we get like 0.01 cents, American cents, every night or something like that. So this is why I feel like it's bullshit.
Right.
Because if I can make Bitcoin at night while I'm sleeping, but I could go to jail for making other kinds of currency while I'm awake.
Into real bizarre news. The first one for you is like a meta irony thing. So a man died of a heart attack while burying a woman he killed. The woman was his roommate. His name, Joseph McKinnon, he's 60. And then Patricia Ruth Dent, whom he lived with, was 65. Investigators in South Carolina have made a breakthrough in an unusual homicide involving a man who they believe killed a woman in his backyard, then suffered a heart attack and died as he attempted to bury her.
Notice you referred to her as his roommate.
Yeah.
I mean, what are they, college kids at 60? I mean, what are they?
They were living together. Yeah. Maybe it was his girlfriend. I did not want to make assumptions. Yes.
Right, because we're a hard-hitting news program. Right. I love the idea that you're, got a roomie at 60.
That's happening though,
where he's going to tell her, if the sock is tied around the door handle, please don't come in.
Right. Right. Over here on this side of the fridge is all of my Ensure.
Yeah.
You can put your, tapioca pudding wherever you want, but there's a line here and you cannot cross it, Patricia. Deputies and paramedics were called to the house in Trenton, South Carolina, after receiving a report of an unresponsive man lying in his yard. When they arrived on the scene, they found the collapsed body of Joseph McKinnon. Also nearby, the body of Patricia Ruth Dent, wrapped in trash bags, lying in a freshly dug pit. And it was kind of tragic because they said everybody who ever met Patricia liked her. She was full of energy.
Yeah.
65 and working.
It's funny. Everybody, whenever somebody gets killed, they're automatically, everybody loves them.
Right.
Full
of life.
Right.
But like, not anymore.
Oh, they were the best. You never hear like anyone who's a victim of murder where they just come out and say, you know what? Really? It's not that big of a deal.
The world is a better place without him or her.
It's like, I wish I could be sad, but I just can't because we're honestly, asshole. Yeah. Just an asshole.
You didn't even ask me how she died.
Oh, how did she die?
Strangulation.
God. So he was pissed.
He was very pissed about the tapioca pudding on his side of the fridge.
What kind of items do you think are stolen in great amounts
Well, one of my favorite topics that we've talked about no less than twice was the bologna smuggling.
Yeah, bologna smuggling.
That's one of my favorite goddamn.
What goes good with bologna?
Everything goes good with bologna.
Yeah, but what's good with bologna?
Well, you always think of cheese.
That's fine, right. That's cheese is another target of theft. So the fine folks who make Parmigiano Reggiano in Italy.
I use it all the time.
Do you, though? That's yes. The question, because there's a huge fraudulent cheese. Yeah. Fraudulent Parmesan cheese. Authentic sales of Parmigiano Reggiano are around 2.4 billion, while fraudulent versions of this cheese is 2.08 billion. So you have like a 50-50 chance that you're not getting the authentic Parmesan cheese. Obviously, what you got to do is you got to put tracker technology in the rinds of legitimate cheese.
Please tell me that these trackers are edible, at least.
They are food safe. Tiny food safe transponders. So now the QAnon crowd is going to really flip out.
Yeah.
Because they're like, we're being tracked through our Parmesan cheese intake.
Well, the QAnon people, you know how much they love their Parmigiano Reggiano.
They've started to embed P-chip microtransponders into the labels of the cheese. And basically what this does is it's a scannable thing that allows them to control inventory and differentiate the real thing from the fake thing, so that you know whether you've got legit Parmesan cheese or whether you got like a fake ass Parmesan cheese.
You are a person. You are a man with hair.
I am.
I am not.
Well, by choice, though.
No, you can't see it, but I am losing lots and lots of hair. And if I were to grow it out, I would have this like Krusty the Clown, like,
oh, I see,
you know, tuft on the front,
right.
Sort of unicorn like. So that I do this because is it by choice? Sure. I did during COVID go with the half mohawk. And by half, I mean the front half, because the back half, I don't really have in here. But the front half, I did like a purple. I have a picture of that. Maybe I'll put it in the show notes. People are, nobody wants to see that. But that's what I had. This comes out of the UK. This next story. There is a judge in the UK that has ruled that calling a man bald counts as sexual harassment. Calling a man bald can now be classed as sexual harassment. A UK employment tribunal. They have tribunals over there, apparently, which right. Sounds super
sexual
awesome.
Harassment tribunals.
Yes. I think the long flowing robes standing right. On like three pillars, you know, and apparently what happened is there's a plumber who went out to someone's house, and he went there, and I guess apparently somebody did not like the job that he did on the plumbing of the things. Uh-huh. And the woman who had hired him got very angry and called him a bald C word. I'm not drunk enough to use that word yet.
A bald cunt?
Say it, I'll say it. Okay, now that you say it, I'm going to say it. Yes, called him a bald cunt. Now, the C word across the pond, everyone, is more acceptable than it is on our side of the world.
It's true.
But means a lot of the same stuff.
Well, yeah. No, not really. I feel like over there, cunt is a little bit more bastard-like, you know?
Right.
Son of a bitch-like, you know, dick-like.
Oh, whereas right.
Here, also true. Here, it's, you know, it really does. Here, unfortunately, I think it's a little bit more gender-specific.
All right, fair enough.
Over there, anyone can be a cunt. Over here, you're really a dick if you're using the word cunt.
I concede wholeheartedly. It's kind of like you're a tool. So his feelings were hurt, and he decided to send this to the tribunal in the UK.
I'm just baffled by people who are so pained and hurt by the opinion of complete and utter strangers.
Right.
You know, the more sensitive you are about your weaknesses and the more you try to cover them up and hide them and deny that they're there, the stronger and more intense those weaknesses will become.
Did I ever tell you the pretty boy story? Did I ever tell you that story from my college years?
No.
When I was in college, a lifetime ago, I had long flowing blonde hair. I had big like blue Fabio? Eyes. I was adorable. That's right. Wow. Yes. When you get into college and you start drinking and you have a bunch of philosophy students or history students or whatever all around you, you start, you know, having sort of amicable arguments about things. And I was arguing with this other guy that we had just like sort of, you know, met sort of that night. We were kind of acquaintances and had sort of passing classes and whatnot. And we started to get in this heated argument about fucking some governmental bullshit thing that college kids argue about and think they know things, but they really don't. And like, it just kind of escalated and escalated. And like, people are like kind of watching this occur. And then finally he said, you know, to me, pointed at me and he's like, well, that's just not how the world works, pretty boy. And then everybody, just like in the movies, like got quiet and they all looked up at him. And then all at once, everybody all laughed their asses off all at the same time. And then I said, he called me pretty. Because like, it's a compliment. Number one, right. You know, but number two, it was like, who does that? Nobody calls somebody else pretty boy during an argument.
He was like, this motherfucker looks like Fabio. Why does he have his shirt open down to his navel?
Yeah,
I can't believe his body is as if it is sculpted from marble. And these are all the things that he's thinking about while he's fighting with you about governmental practices. Right.
All right. Next story. Your turn, sir.
So we've talked about children on the show before and the pressure to have children. Well, what happens when your parents sue you for $650,000? A North Indian couple has decided that they are going to sue their son for $650,000 because they have not yet produced a grandchild after 6 years of marriage. His son has not produced a grandchild after 6 years of marriage. They paid for his flight school. They paid for his wedding. And that ungrateful son of a bitch, I may even call him a cunt, I don't know.
Yeah.
Has not given them a child. So this is a quote. At least if we have a grandchild to spend time with, our pain will become bearable. What? Like, why is it his responsibility to produce toys for you to play with? What I'm really wondering is, where does the number come from? Like $650,000?
It's like, I need to have a grandchild to be happy or money.
I need one of those two.
Right. One of those two.
One of those two is what I'm looking for.
All right. Are you ready for a good old like Florida story? Enough with this weighty philosophical stuff.
Yeah, Florida story.
I'm finally starting to feel the effects of the margarita. It's not a drink that apparently I feel right off the bat like I do with like gin or scotch, but hey. Florida woman tells deputy that getting arrested was on her bucket list. So the lowdown is that she sped on purpose. So she like was going super fast just around. Okay. Where is this? Key Largo. Wow. That's a nice spot, according to the Beach Boys.
It's a good spot to speed.
Apparently. But she just sped. And then the police turned the lights on because she got caught speeding. She spent a little extra time before pulling over. So she didn't pull over right away.
Oh, so she fled. She
just continued to, it gets better or worse, depending on your point of view. So she like sort of, you know, didn't pull over right away and sort of pretended like it wasn't happening. And then finally she did pull over. And then the officer got out of the car. And then as the police officer was approaching, she drove off.
Oh,
of course she did.
Yeah.
And then the cop had to get back in the car, chased her again. And like, I don't think she was trying to get away.
Right.
Because as the headline said before, it was on her bucket list. And I think she wanted to jack it up from speeding from a, to, you know, it's like a ticket all the way on up to a goddamn felony arrest or whatever.
Yeah.
So she fled again. And then they pulled her over. She finally pulled over. And she was finally charged with fleeing and eluding, which I didn't know was a thing. Not resisting arrest.
No.
Fleeing and eluding, which I didn't realize was a, like a real thing.
Well, I mean, because she didn't resist arrest.
Right.
Well, so she was fleeing and eluding. But when they caught her, she was like, oh, yeah, I'm all about this.
Yeah, it's fine. So she finally did, you know, pull over and, you know, she surrendered peacefully. And then finally, before she was taken to jail, the woman told the deputy that getting arrested had been on her bucket list since high school.
Wow.
High school.
A long time desire.
Although, well, she now that I look back and re-examine this story with my journalistic eye, it didn't take her too long to hit this for the bucket list because she was 19.
Oh.
So she's like, what's first on my bucket list? Let me get arrested right out of high school.
Well, I mean, I guess she's knocking off the easy ones first.
Yeah, it's pretty. I could do that tomorrow if I wanted to. And she is smiling in her mugshot. So there's that.
Oh, nice.
She's very happy. And she, what
do you think that day was like? You know, she got up. She was like, oh, let's check out the bucket list today. Should I write the great American novel or should I get arrested by the police?
Let's see, climb Everest. I don't have the means yet.
Oh, gosh. I don't think I can make it there and back before work on Monday.
Yeah. I believe you have one more for me.
I do.
For us, for all of you.
You know, sometimes I do like a build up. Sometimes I think it's best just to read the headline. LitHub essay on plagiarism removed due to plagiarism. Jumi Bello had her debut novel pulled from publication by Riverhead Books, which is part of the Penguin Group, I guess, because she'd plagiarized several passages in it.
Well, who did she plagiarize from?
Well, I mean, I'm not sure who from, but, you know, she admitted it. She wrote an essay explaining why she did it. And apparently she's the victim of mental health issues and, you know, bad healthcare system. Hmm. The irony is that there's, in addition to her book being pulled from because of plagiarism.
Yeah.
There's an essay that she has on LitHub where she talks about plagiarism. And she plagiarized some of that essay about plagiarism.
I still want to know where she got it from, though. That's the problem.
She got the original piece from a 10-year-old article published on Plagiarism Today. There's a Plagiarism Today.
Yeah. Interesting.
Yeah.
Yeah. Plagiarism Today is like a magazine.
There's a 2019 article named Five Historical Moments That Shaped Plagiarism.
Mm-hmm.
She stole one of the moments, I guess. And just lightly rewrote it, apparently. The passage here that they've got as an example, plagiarism has been with us since the birth of language and art. For as long as there have been words to be read, there has been someone there copying the passages.
Yeah. This week in Duh.
Yeah.
Florida Ford GT. Another Florida story.
Imagine weird stories coming out of Florida.
Florida, of all places, yeah. I mean, it's just a great state. Weather, politics, it's like a utopia. Florida Ford GT owner crashes because he is unfamiliar with manual transmission. He can't drive a stick shift, but he bought Florida Ford GT.
Hmm.
He crashed through a bunch of bushes, like wrecked the vehicle. Once the police arrived on site and questioned the man, he said, I didn't know how to drive a stick shift. And that's what happened. And there you go. That's it this week. And why would you drive a car like that? Why would you buy a car like that?
Yeah.
Or even if you did, take some goddamn classes, have like your dad teach you how to drive a stick shift, just like my dad did, because I knew how to drive a stick shift before I knew how to drive a manual. So fuck this guy.
Yeah, I don't know how to drive a stick shift, but I was under the impression
Well, you're a city boy. It's fine.
Well, here's the thing, though. If you don't know how to drive a stick shift, how do you get it moving? Also like, true. isn't the difficulty with a stick shift actually getting it up to any speed without it stalling out?
That is correct. Yes. Like learning how the clutch works. Yes.
So, you know, what I'm really wondering here when I'm listening to this story is, are we talking about somebody like last week with the GPS where she drives down the stairs?
Oh,
or like, yeah. You know, yeah, I didn't know how to drive a stick shift. It's not that I was completely bonked out of my mind on meth and pills that I crashed into this guy's house. It's because I didn't know how to drive a stick shift. That's what it was.
Yes. So I'm cool now, right? Everything's cool.
Yeah, that's right.
Even though I can't just
drive
like...
a stick shift.
Right.
Right. Yeah. You can get that 8-year-old out of the grill of my car with no problem. I'm right. Sure he's fine.
I am the victim here.
Yeah.
I was never taught how to
you
drive a stick
shift.
You
didn't just call me bald, did you?
This week in Duh.
Well, we certainly appreciate everybody listening to our...
We do.
Our small, humble, little news program. And we hope you'll tune in next week. If you want to follow us on Twitter, we are at LiqueredUpLD. You can follow me at IntelliGiant2, and you can follow Brian at Russian Lick Guy. And thanks a lot, everybody. Hope you tune in next week.
Thanks, everybody.